There's some good things that happened this week, and I want to share with you. Probably you've already heard, but let me share with you anyhow. At 1:48 Friday morning, our time, Zach and Haekyung had a beautiful baby girl, 7 pounds, 4 ounces, 19 and a half inches long. Man, beautiful. I know she's beautiful. I saw the pictures of her. And praise the Lord, they'll be home next year, and we'll get to see her in person. We just praise God that she's healthy and everyone's doing fine. And continue to keep them in prayer as they minister over in East Asia. All right, turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. Beautiful passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture. Back in college, this passage of Scripture was one of my favorite passages of Scripture because I spent so much time at the Marshall Pottery. I like to go to that place and watch them. And this passage of Scripture just kind of fits in with that. Our Lord used many methods of teaching people. Many times Jesus would use things that were very common to us all. He would use animals. He'd talk about the trees and the air and the wind and the rocks and the buildings around to illustrate his points. In this passage of Scripture, we find the story of the potter and the clay. In verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray this morning that as you speak, Lord, that you will touch our people's hearts. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that their life is like the clay, Lord, this morning, we thank you that you didn't throw it away. In Jesus' name, amen. You see a picture here of the potter and the clay. And I want you to think about this morning. Here is the servant of God, Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, his servant. God gives him a message for the people of Israel. And the word of the Lord came and said, "Jeremiah, I want you to arise and go down to the potter's house." A message to Jeremiah that the people needed of that day. You see, folks, I believe God gives every one of us a message. He's called us to preach the gospel of the Lord to the whole world. And friends, God has raised up one servant to tell other servants about what his work is to do. He always has a messenger. And I believe with all my heart that every born-again believer today is that messenger with the good news of the gospel to preach to every lost person in the world. You see, God has always had a messenger to warn his people of what he was going to do. In America today, we need messengers. We need messengers to take heed and to warn people and say, "Thus saith the Lord." God is not pleased with our sin. He doesn't like sin at all. Noah, in his day, the Bible says God came to Noah and said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." So Noah started building an ark. But the whole time he built the ark, God says, "Noah, I want you to preach my word." And he gave the people in Noah's day warning after warning after warning. and they wouldn't listen. But there was that messenger Noah to preach the word. And Moses was a man called by God to lead his people out of bondage. And he said, Moses, while you lead my people out of bondage, teach them my commandments. And he gave the people the commandments, the laws of God, to learn that they may obey his word about what he was going to do. I preached not long ago about Isaiah. Isaiah was one of those messengers of God. And Isaiah, the Bible says, went up into the house of God, and he heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go? And Isaiah said, Lord, I'll be that messenger. Send me. And all through the Old Testament and into the New Testament, God has his messengers. There's always that servant of God who's telling the people of God what the things of God is about. And this morning, I pray that God will speak to your heart and show you in your life. Some of you may be here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to. You need to do that today. You need to come of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of you are here this morning and you've fallen away from God's word. You've gone out into the world. You need to come back to God. You see, and the first thing I see here is Jeremiah had to go take, I said this years ago, I believe Jeremiah had to go take a college course of pottery making. I never will forget going to school in Marshall, East Texas Baptist University over there, and going out at our, I had a lot of evening time, and you don't want to drive 80 miles one way to go home and then come back for the night course, so sometimes I'd go out to the pottery place there and just watch them make pots over and over and over again. And I learned a lot about making pots. You know, you're never too old to learn, are you? I believe there's always something for us to learn about God. He says to in Timothy, study the word to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God in truth. In God's word, he teaches us beforehand what he's going to do and what he wants us to do as Christians. So there's always the schooling of God. So he sends Jeremiah down, and he said, I want you to go down to the potter's house and listen and see what I'm about to do. And then there's the scene. Jeremiah's at the potter's shop. And as he watches the potter there, he begins to learn firsthand what God wants him to see. He saw the potter there. The potter, if you've ever watched them, they're busy at work there. He begins to think about what God is going to do in the world. You see, I believe as he saw the potter there, he saw the wheel spinning around and around and around, and he realizes that the wheel, as the world in which we live, the sovereign God is in control. He's at work. And folks, I believe with all my heart that God is at work in my life. He's at work in your life. He's at work in First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. He's at work in Gun Barrel City. He's at work in Henderson County. He's at work in Texas. And he's got a work for us to do. God does not send his servants out and leave them without the training that he wants us to give. God did not create the universe and create the world just to sling it up there in orbit without anything. He continues to work today. He continues to work in your life. He continues to work in my life. I'm so glad that God is not through with me. I'm so glad that God still has a word for me. So the wheel going around, he sees the sovereign work of God. And then he sees the clay there. Couldn't we say today that the clay would be man? You see, God, over in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says he took the dust from the ground, and with it he made man. And when he made man, the Bible says he breathed the breath of life into that man. And he became, in his image, he was in God's image. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." In Acts 9:15, he says, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name." You see, God chose us. God made man. In that beautiful garden, he made Adam. He made Adam there to rule the earth. The Bible says, I love the story, when we read it, that there Adam was in the, I think, the prettiest place your mind could ever comprehend. A place perfect in God's sight. A place that God had made. And there was man. Man perfect in God's sight. And the Bible says he walked with man. Can't you imagine the fellowship that Adam had there, walking with God, talking with God, in perfect union with God? Oh, in his image. And that's us. We're man. And until God touches our lives, oh, we don't have spiritual life. Some of you are here this morning, and you're walking, you're talking. God made you. He created you. You were formed in your mother's womb, and God gave you life. Just like this week, our granddaughter was born. Oh, what a beautiful little child. God made her. He touched her. But until God breathes that breath of life, oh, we're worthless clay until God shapes us and forms us. And the vessel that this potter made, oh, it was just a vessel. But God calls us individually, you see. God calls us to come to him, to come for salvation. And then he touches us, and the Bible says he gives us his spirit, and he gives us the salvation that we need in our life. And that's why we as Christians are God's vessels to preach the word so others might come. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And friends, we are saved to serve God. We're not vessels saved to just put on a shelf somewhere. We're saved so that we can actually serve God with our lives. And God has a work for you to do. He has a job for you to do. And he's told us what that job is. I've thought of the song many times, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." Man, are you still enough this morning? Are you listening to God this morning that he can mold you? Are you saying, "Lord, have your own way in my life, so that I can be what you want me to be, that beautiful vessel to serve you"? You see, that's the picture of the Lord. He has a message to his servants. He has a work for us to do and a service for us to do. But you know, I find there's something else here in this passage of Scripture. He said to Jeremiah, "Arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my word." And Jeremiah was faithful and went to the potter's house. And you know what? He was making a vessel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. There's a problem. You see, there's a problem here. The beautiful vessel that God made was marred. I remember the story over in Genesis. The beautiful vessel, Adam, was in the garden. Beautiful. He walked with God. He talked with God. He had fellowship with God. Everything went well. But the vessel was marred, you see. Did God make the mistake? Was it God's fault? Certainly it wasn't God's fault. Was he careless in the making of the vessel? No, not at all. Was he? Well, then who made the mistake? You see, the key word to understand here, the vessel that he made of clay was marred. And that key word to understand that we need to understand is the word was. You see, the vessel was marred. The vessel that the potter made was marred. And that word marred comes from a Hebrew word meaning it became marred. It's the same word that we find over in Genesis 1, 2, where it says, the earth was without form and void. The earth was without form and void. Now, if you read verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God created the heavens and the earth, and, you know, it was beautiful. Everything was beautiful about it. But it was marred. It says in Genesis, I believe it's in Genesis 2, doesn't it? It was without form and void. Let me tell you something, folks. I found out when God does a good work, it's complete. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe he created the heavens and the earth. And it was a beautiful place. But the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over it. You see, it's that same word was. If you use the Greek word here, it would read like this. The earth, it became without form and void. And the original form, I believe it was perfect. But somewhere down the line, I believe it was wrecked by the angelic sin and old Lucifer himself when God kicked him out of heaven. How many people are like the earth? Oh, we were perfect, but we became marred. We became marred. We became marred. We served God. We lived for him. You know, some of us were even set on fire with the Spirit of God in our lives, but we've lost that. You've been saved, you've been born again, you've been baptized, you've been in church, you've gone to church, all those things. But something has happened in your life. You've fallen away. I can go down the roll on our rolls and look at the names of people and I pray for them. You know, they were in church, they came to church, I know they were saved, they had their life changed, everything was going, but there was a mar in their life. And they're not here no more. Their spiritual lives, some have been wrecked. Some have lost their testimony. And it's not only just members. You've seen preachers on television. They've done a great work for God. I believe they were saved. Don't have to call any names. They live for God. They preach God's word, but they were marred. I have a pastor friend. his life was so marred that he lost his testimony. I know he was saved. I know he preached the word of God. I know that God used him in a mighty way, but something happened in his life, and he became marred. Is that your life today? You came to church. You were saved. You walked down the aisle, and actually, you gave your heart to Jesus Christ right there and then. By faith, you trusted him. You went through the baptismal waters and showed, you know, I'm dying with Christ in his baptism. I've been raised to walk in the newness of life. But you fell out of fellowship. Didn't lose your salvation, but you fell out of fellowship with God. Sin mars you, doesn't it? Sin causes us to break fellowship, doesn't it? That's what's happened in a lot of people's lives. That's what's happened across America. There's a lot of Christian people out there, but they're fallen out of fellowship with God, and they need to get their lives back in God's place, working for God, taking a stand for God. I heard a young man this morning. I call him young. He's probably my age or maybe a little younger. One of my deacons. And I agree with him. If the Christian people would take a stand for God and take a stand for what's right, we've seen it this week. I don't know if you saw where Chick-fil-A took a stand for God, and man, look at the Christian people that come to Chick-fil-A. Some of you were telling me they stood in lines, long lines, saying, "We give you our support." Man, we need to let people know where we stand on this. And he was telling me there's a show coming on, The New Normal. The New Norm or something like that. Channel 5. I saw it advertised. And he just said, you know, I've got to take a stand. I'm not going to watch Channel 5 anymore. They're supporting the gays and lesbians and all of that. And what if every Christian today would say, listen, that's not right. I'm not going to turn it to NBC. Not going to have anything to do with JCPenney anymore or any of those things, those stores that support that kind of living. If the Christians would just say, no, we've had enough. It's not the new norm. I don't know about you, but that's not normal to me. But so many of us just say, sit back and say, oh, preacher, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can if you want to follow God's word. You can make a stand. Jeremiah wasn't. Can't even think of the word I want to say. But he wasn't very popular. But he made a stand and he said, listen, this is the right way. This is what God wants you to do in your life. See, I don't know what's happened in your life. Some people are always saying, preacher, you think it's all right that if I come to church since I've been divorced? And yes, yes, yes. You know what? I love it right here. I love this. Whatever happened that made you fall out of church? I heard someone say, you know, I'd come to church, but I've been divorced and people look down on me. I don't look down on you. I don't look down on you. I don't judge you for that. You see, I can't sit there and say, oh, since you've been divorced, you can't be used anymore. Baloney. You know, I'm not in favor of it, but I know it happens. I know it happens. It's happened in our family's life. I think it's happened in everybody's family's life. But don't just, he didn't throw the vessel was marred, but he didn't throw it away, did he? No, God didn't say, okay, it's been marred, I'm never going to use you anymore. No, the Bible says he took that little mar out of that, he put that, you know, I loved it when I sat over and watched them at potter, they would make that potter, man, he'd take that clay and slam it down there. I thought, man, he can't make nothing out of that thing. But, man, with the potter's hand and stuff, he'd work that clay, put water in it. And every once in a while, as he's coming up with them jugs, he made some beautiful jugs there. I was watching him coming up with that jug. Every once in a while, there'd be a little scratch go around that thing. You know what he did? He took something and flicked that little scratch out of there, took that clay back down to nothing, and back up again to a beautiful vessel. That may be your life. There's been a mar there. You know, it may not be divorce. It may be a sexual sin that you've committed. You know? God is merciful. God is gracious. Man, if I was perfect, I wouldn't be up here preaching, I guarantee you. He'd have thrown me away a long time ago. And most everybody in this church, if you had to stand before God completely without sin, you wouldn't make it. There's no way you'd make it, because we're not perfect, folks. But God, the potter, didn't throw the clay away. He says he took that clay and started rebuilding it. Oh, man. To what? I like verse 4. And the vessel that he made was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good in the potter's house. Folks, I don't know whatever excuse you might use that you say God can't use me. Well, he can. He can use you. You go through the problems in life, and I think every problem that comes your way, if you'll look to God, he'll take that problem, get rid of it, so that you can minister to somebody else. You see? I have a good friend that, yes, he was a pastor, but yes, he committed a sin, but he got that right with God, and now God is using him again. Yeah. You just don't keep on going back and doing the same thing. That's what repentance is. We turn our life around. We recognize, Lord, I messed up. And I'm so sorrowful for it. God is a good God. God is a loving God. Would you come this morning? You see, no matter what you've done, God is gracious. If you're willing to let God, he'll take your life and make it complete. But let's look at the pronouncement. It was the potter's decision what he made. No one else could do that. But the potter cared enough. He didn't throw that clay away. He just simply took the mar out of it and started it again. Lovingly, tenderly, he picks that clay up and starts all over again. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're lost. You're in a world of darkness out there. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants you to come to him today. He wants you to give your life to him and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. And the Bible says if you'll confess him before men, that's what you're doing when you step out by faith. You're saying, I don't care. I'm coming to Christ. I want everybody to know that I'm coming to Christ. You know what? The moment you'll step out by faith and trust him as your Savior, he will save you. Amen. Just like a little child, you're going to be born again. And you're going to start over in Christ Jesus. That's what you're doing. And you know what? He'll make something beautiful out of you. But you know, a lot of you are like me. You were saved, but you failed. You know what? The good thing about failure is God doesn't give up on us. And every time I fail, it never surprises me that God says, okay, Booney, I want to use you, but you've got to get your life right. You see, God wants a clean vessel. And that's what I'm saying this morning. God wants you clean. He wants you to recognize, hey, I'm not my own. I used to think I'm the boss of my life. I can do with it like I please. But you know what? God said, oh, no, you're not. And he let me go. And he said, just try to live without me. And you know, you don't do a very good job, do you? You don't do a very good job. Man, and you know what? I felt like, oh, I got to get back to God. I'm so miserable without God. I've tried to run from God. I've tried to hide from God. You can't do it. If you're saved and you're sure you're saved, then you can't continue to live in sin. If you do, more than likely you weren't ever saved to start with, or either the other thing, if you're saved, you're really saved, then one day if you continue to live in sin, God's going to take you out of this world, because he loves you too much to let you continue on to live in sin and run your testimony in your life before the world. You see, you've got a choice today. Then if you're saved, you can come rededicate your life to God and start living right, or he can take you out. And you don't want to die now, do you? I don't want to die without being right with God. And you know how we do that, folks? We simply say, Lord, I have messed up. I'm like this clay. I want to be start over. God is a good God. He's a gracious God. And he will forgive you. Pick you back up. Get your life going again. Just come to him. Just come to him. Don't use excuses. Don't let others keep you from coming to him. And then there's those that of you are saved and you've been out of church for a long time, or you just need to get back in church and start reading his word and get going again with him. So maybe you're here this morning, I don't know where you're from, we have some visitors with us, maybe you're looking for a church home and this is the place God wants you to come. Would you come this morning and say, I want to join in with you, preacher. I want to make a stand for Gun Barrel City and for God. I'm not going to let the world keep telling me what's the new norm. Because we know what God's norm is. You want to come? Well, you come this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you took that clay, and even though it was marred, Lord, you took it and remolded it and made it into something beautiful that you saw. And God, I thank you that you take our lives day by day and work in them and through us. Lord, let you use us. Like the song said, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You're the potter. We're the clay. Mold me this morning and make me after your will. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand as we